Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Black on Black Crime. Our story today is Warren Sapp versus the Ocho Cincos, or Evelyn, if you want to put it that way. The Urban League versus Nike. But first, I want to say this is what our show is not about. And it's not about this. All right, so Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider white people or anyone else. So on that note, welcome to our Point Counterpoint program. I'm your host, Jerome, and we have co-host Finesse on. What's up, Finesse?
What's going on, Rome? How you doing today?
Oh, doing all right. I know I did our first couple of stories, but who else do we have up on the list for today?
On the list today, we've got, you talked about Warren Sapp, Chad Ocho-Cinco. I want to throw in Terrell Owens in that mix. We've got Torre, and I think that's it for today, don't we? Got the Urban League versus Nike.
Oh,
LeBron James, or whoever.
Oh, man, I missed the Urban League Nike one. Oh, I thought I said that earlier. All right, so we got those going. I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to who's listening on the ACN or the Ask Kathleen Network on SP Radio. If you're listening out there on iTunes, hey, you can tell a friend to tell a friend. We're happy for everyone who's joined us today. And hit us up in chat. We're there. You want to send us an email, just Black on Black Crime, BOBC@solasyracuse.com. So on that note, Finesse, we're going to let you take it away on our first topic for today.
Well, before I do that, let's send a shout out to my man Bongo and Jerk Hut out of the State Fair. And I got a message from his son to you, Rome. He wanted to tell you what's up, and he missed, Jose said, what's up, and he missed those conversations you guys used to have at the Hut.
Oh, man. You know, I was having a conversation at Jerk Hut at the New York State Fair last night. I can't believe I missed that. With Keith, with his brother Keith. And, of course, we were tearing politics up. And so since we're going to tear Torre up, I think we're going to tear politics up today. So, Jose, if you're out there listening, make sure you call in and feel free to join in at any time while we talk about this. But if you're at the great New York State Fair, hey, you know what? And I will give away some tickets just for anybody who wants to go to Jerk Hut, and tell them Jose sent you. Matter of fact, don't tell them Jose sent you, but go to New York State Fair. Send us an email at BOBC, Black on Black Crime, at solasyracuse.com. First person I get, I will give you some tickets to New York State Fair. It's until we have, what, 8 more days in New York State Fair. Have that and a coupon book that's kind of worth, what is it, $3,200 worth of coupons. If you email me, first and second people, I'll give you some tickets to the fair. All right. So, Finesse, I'll let you start off on this one.
All right. Well, here's a call number as well, folks. Yes, sir.
Well, before you start, you know, I was just thinking about this, because if you're going to create, we have to run a disclaimer, because this may be a black-on-black crime as Finesse starts. So I want to give you the call-in number, just in case you want to get ramped up. Our call-in number is area code 909-265-9189. That is 909-265-9189. And I just want to remind you, like we do all the time, keep your comments relevant. And profanity, if you add profanity, vulgarity, obscenity, we're going to boot you up out of here. So just want to give you a fair warning. All right, Finesse.
All right.
Let at it.
Look, as has always been explained about black-on-black crime, we're not talking about the black-on-black crime that's committed in the street. We're talking about that that's committed in the media. And I want to start off today's show, and I'm going to commit a black-on-black crime. I'm telling you this right now.
Oh, man.
I'm not supposed to say stuff like this, but I do not like this brother. I do not like Torre. Yeah, I said it. I never have liked this brother. Well, let me go back. When he first began his career, I thought, okay, we cool. But I don't even know what this brother's credentials are. I know he wrote a few books, and, you know, a couple of the books was good. But this brother has gone in on black folks and made us look ignorant every chance he gets, all for the almighty dollar. And I'm shocked that he's friends with Nelson George. That's my boy.
Oh, no, yeah.
Torre just said some off-the-wall comments, and last week, a couple weeks ago, he got on, he was on he's on this show on CNN where he's one of the, you know, political pundits. I don't know how that happened because he started off doing music or whatever and writing short stories. I mean, I guess it can happen. I've done some things that people say, how did he get into that? So I ain't going to knock that. But in the midst of all this, he said, and I need to get the quote on this so I can say it right, but basically he said that Mitt Romney was basically calling the president a nigger, but he used a niggerization.
Right.
Now, Torre, you know what you were doing when you said it. Whether it's true or not, no one knows what Mitt Romney's going to do. But you don't use that kind of word when you know that, especially with the president involved, when you know they're already looking at him as that. I mean, it's always an issue. We know it. But to use that word in that context, you actually gave fuel to the fire for not only the Republicans, but for the rest of white America to begin this whole conversation again. How come I can't use the word nigga? And saying the kind of things that you do. So that right there set me off. But what set me off even worse is, if you feel so strong about something, don't let nobody punk you and take it back. The next day, you apologize. Why are you apologizing? That's even worse. You caved in. And this is why I don't work in mainstream media, because they can say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do, but you say something, and then you got to apologize for it. I thought we had freedom of speech.
Okay, now I'm going to interrupt you to say, since you worked in mainstream media and you're still in media, there is no reason why he should have did that. So I just want to start off by saying, since I am a political strategist by profession, over 20 years of it, that guy in particular, I know there's a lot of people who just, it's a flat black-on-black crime that they now want to criticize politics when they never criticized politics before. Now, so I'm not going to – well, I can't say whether I'm going to create a black-on-black crime because of finesse in today, and he may create a black-on-black crime on every topic today. We have just come up with the term J-B-O-B. That's a J-Bob, and that's justified black-on-black crime. So we know that finesse may create a justified black-on-black crime just like I'm about to do right now. So – you know, there's not a lot of professionals that are black folks that are actually political strategists. I don't know what this made-up term is, political analyst or political – like, he's a social critic. I don't really know what that means. That's like – everybody's a social critic when you watch TV. But for him to do that, he was just wrong to even come out to say anything like he wanted to criticize a black person, let alone call him a name on national TV. So he's wrong for that. I'm going to have to agree with you on this particular I agree with you. It doesn't matter. I won't qualify it. I agree with you on that.
I mean, I'm really trying to understand. And folks don't understand media. What was I watching the other day? They only have two people in the Rolodex, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and now to add the third one, Torre. How does this guy qualify to talk about?
I'm sorry. Let me make another black-on-black crime. You can throw Tavis in if you like.
Oh, so that's four people in the Rolodex when they get to talk about the black community or anything social. Who is this cat? This cat wrote a hip-hop book. What have you done hip-hop music-wise to even qualify to write something on DMX or to write something on Eminem? And they go to this guy. I've seen him on everything from VH1. He's hosted another show, and I ain't knocking nobody's hustle. But can you get some qualified folks to head up? I'd rather see Seth host a hip hop, you know, the fuse hip hop. Somebody
smart.
Qualified with hip hop. This cat is walking around talking about stuff he has no idea what he's talking about. nuts. Period.
Well, you're right about that. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's see if we have somebody on the Torre situation. We have a caller. Last four digits is 448. Welcome to Black on Black Crime. How you doing?
2448, is this me?
Yes, yep, this is you.
Hello?
Yes,
who are we speaking to? Jose, formerly of Syracuse, New York, living in Charlotte right now.
Oh, you don't have to go that far. There's nothing but love. This is me, Jerome and Finesse on with you. What's up, Jose?
How you doing, man? I'm feeling good right now. I'm feeling great. First day of school for my youngest son, so...
Oh, yeah, and you know, I already miss you tearing up at Jerk Cut because, you know, we'd have to close that place down sometimes, making some noise. So I didn't want – I know when Finesse shouted you out, I'm like, we could do a whole new 2 hours of us shutting this down. So, you know, I want you to hang out with us today because we're gonna make some noise. Did you want to talk about
–
All right. So you wanted to go in
– I think he's an implant, man. I think he's an implant. No different than like you question how he gets that platform to even to speak on the level that he speaks on. Who gives him the authority? I mean, like you see, whenever some type of controversial or political situation arise, they go to the token, I don't know whether it's the token black guy or the black woman, but it's like they have a representative to call that they feel has that, tell us, you know, I don't know, have you ever been in a situation where you're somewhere and somebody say, why do black people do this? It's like, I don't know, ask them. You know,
right.
It seems like somebody... It seemed like, you know, they a lot of people have this one particular person that they feel speaks for everybody. CNN
right.
has Roland Martin, you know.
Right.
Fox has
Juan Williams.
Juan Williams, and this dark-skinned brother with the glasses.
Boyce Watkins. No, Boyce goes over there sometimes. I'm sorry. I know he's from the area and all of that good stuff, but hey, he's on Fox, and so I have to call him out.
What I try not to do, I also try not to discredit the person's point of view, because that is just that, their point of view. You know,
right.
If everybody stands at a table and there's Coke can sitting in the middle of the can, and we're all asked to draw what we see. Everybody
right.
have a different view of it. So,
right.
you know, I think the problem is when people try to say that's the way it is because I said so, and that's the way I see it. No, that's
right.
the way you see it.
Okay, so Jose, you know, before, for our new listeners, I want them to know, black on black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas that they don't consider white people or anybody else. So I know Finesse wanted to jump in on this. Finesse?
You know, I've been in the media 17, and I've watched the way these folks manipulate and try to get black folks to pit them against each other. And I just watched an excellent documentary by Jenks this weekend called What Black Men Think. They talked about the media. And these same people that are on the Rolodex, these people are on their payroll. And it's about
right.
money.
Right.
See, you, if you don't have controversy, those four individuals, they can't make money. Point
right.
one. And then on the flip side of this, and I'm about to commit a black-on-black crime, if these black networks don't get black news, then all we have are these individuals telling what our news is. You know, there's no – Torre has no business talking about politics, period. None.
Exactly.
He shouldn't be talking about hip-hop. I'm going to let that slide.
But I'm not going to let that slide.
He definitely shouldn't be talking about politics. Travis Smiley has his own private agenda. That's why that cat wrote that book. And then why don't you buy five other books when he could just put it in one? And I watched an interesting piece with Minister Farrakhan, who ripped Tavis Smiley at his own event, talking about the book was harsh, was hogwash, because you were saying the same rhetoric over and over. So this is what you get. And these folks, so they already know what they're going to get when they ask these folks to go on, because they want them to say their own answers. But it's interesting, and I did this the other day. If you notice, the Democratic or the free-minded, whatever they call themselves, networks, they always have the light-skinned black, because that's appropriate. That's what they think black is. The Republicans try to prove they're down with black, so they got the most ignorant, dark-skinned, and I almost said the N-word, on the network. They need to look at that and say, something ain't wrong, because that's not, you know, that's not us.
All right. You know what? I just want to stop you for a second just to say, if you're in the chat room or you're on the line, I know we have some hands up in the line, on the line. So in case Finesse is creating a black-on-black crime himself, I'm going to bring in.
I'm committing felonies and misdemeanors today.
All right. Well, that's what he's doing. So let's go back. Let's go back to the line. We dropped Jose. So, Jose, you call back in at any time. We're going to go to Georgia 770. Welcome to Black on Black Crime. Who's calling?
It's Kai. How are you?
Oh, it's my girl, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Okay.
How you guys doing?
I must give you an intro before you start. Columnist, poet. You can check her out on SolarSyracuse.com. We have Kai on today as we talk Black on Black Crime today. How you doing, Kai?
I'm good, and it looks like I came in right at the end of the Tory conversation, but right on time.
There you go. You came in just before our Atlanta or our Basketball Wives stuff, so we're going to talk about that at the bottom of the hour. So
okay.
You may have not come in at a good time.
Okay. you know, every now and then I try to step outside of my black skin and view us from, you know, from a different perspective, be it white, Asian, Hispanic. And I often ask myself, do other nationalities have these kind of discussions? And if so, why? So I happened to catch an episode of Tore, surprised that he was even on, Piers Morgan. And I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's like Jose said, we all have, you know, our own opinion, whether it's right or wrong, it's our opinion. And I tried to be objective in listening to Tore speak. I was blown away.
How did that work out?
I know. And I can't remember what the topic was. I just remember, it's like you said, Finesse, it sounds like a payroll. He was speaking payroll talk. He was on a payroll. And it was to the point where he couldn't even conduct just a civil conversation. He started getting upset. And, Piers Morgan was asking him just basic questions. And the more the calmer Piers Morgan was, the more upset he got. Which, whatever cause he was supposed to be speaking on our behalf, he just perpetuated the stereotype that already existed among us. And it's sad I can't even remember what the topic was. I was so devastated at the way he conducted himself in the interview.
You know, I have to say, when I listen to shows like that and I see black folks on, it reminds me, I mean, I grew up, I'm not going to tell anybody else's age, but I grew up kind of in the late 70s-ish when you would only see one black person on The Price is Right per week kind of thing.
Mm-hmm,
and so it makes me cringe to see black people act in that kind of manner when I see it. So I'm surprised you sat through it and watched it, because I really kind of got out of
it. Oh, it was unbearable. I kept waiting for it to get better, and it didn't.
Kai is exactly right. He fed into the stereotype, and this is why they kept playing over. He actually fed into what Mitt Romney says about President Obama, just in slick terms, the angry black men syndrome. And they just and Pierce could just sit there and just, I'm just going to ask this fool question because he's going to act up.
And that's pretty much what it was.
Yep, and this is how we get comfortable in media. When we get these jobs with these big networks, we get comfortable and we think that they're our friends and they're going to actually let us say our side. No, it's not going to happen that way. And that's why we have to have our own news, real news. And this is what I said last week. We, that's our media, we have to be responsible. We have to balance out what's being shown and what's being said. We mm-hmm. all don't need to keep doing stories about Lil Wayne. I don't care about that clown. You know,
oh,
let's
God.
Talk about some real issues. That, oh, did I just commit another black-on-black crime?
Yes,
I guess
yes, you did. Yes.
Well, I'm going to put that one with you for now.
He doesn't count because he don't think he's black. Anyway. so
okay.
We
you know
to
what?
Be responsible in the media.
I'm going to literally bring a whistle in or a flag in on this. And so just so that we're not committing a crime, because you need to know, since our listeners are out there, that we are talking about, oh, you know what? I can explain it this way. It's kind of like saying reverse discrimination. When you discriminate against somebody, somebody needs to discriminate with you. So there's no such thing as creating a black-on-black crime on black-on-black crime. So there's always a path there. It is what we like to call justified black-on-black crime. So we're going to give you that one. And on that note, because we're not going to take a commercial break. We had one scheduled. We're not going to take one. Mm-hmm. But since Jose has joined us back, let's mic him back, open his mic again. Jose, he's laughing at us too, Finesse. Jose,
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I lost reception. One of the problems I seem to run into, and I try to hold myself accountable as well, is trying to define what blackness is without realizing that, you know, we are as black folks in the Western Hemisphere in a very unique situation that the rest of the world is not in. I mean, you know, when we compare ourselves to Asians, Italians, the Greeks, I mean, none of them have history such as ours. And, you know, we have to understand that we are a people searching for an identity. So, you know, when we say, all right, he's this and I don't like the way he's doing this, and, you know, then the other person come out and say, well, you're hating on him. No, I just don't dig what he's doing. So, I mean, I've been accused of that, like, you know, that's you know, crab in the bucket mentality. And I'll say, you know what, I just want more for them. You understand what I'm saying? So I can't critique them constructively without being deemed as a hater. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't talk to you at all. I wouldn't speak about you at all. So just the thought that I'm even thinking about you, that I even chose this time to even mention your name, just show that I have some type of consideration for you. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's knowing where to draw that fine line of hating and actually wanting better for you. You know, because we also had a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the president, and, you know, supposedly not doing as much for black folk or brown folk as, you know, we would want him to. The first thing that a lot of people say, well, Bush didn't do this or Clinton didn't do this. And I'm saying, I'm not talking about Bush or Clinton. I'm talking about Obama. You understand what I'm saying? I don't look at them in the same manner that I look at him. Or, I mean, maybe I don't. Maybe I do. Who knows? Maybe, you know, it's just that you can't say just because this person might not have been held accountable for what they've done by the masses, that this person shouldn't.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? You can't say this because, you know, I'm like, that's the same stuff that you tell your kids if they jump off the bridge.
Well, I want to say this.
You know, if they jump off the bridge, you know, you're not going to jump off the bridge either, are you? You're giving the same excuse that you tell, you know, you try to tell your kids not to follow it. So I don't get it.
Okay, so since we just hold on just a second, Jose. Since we kind of brought up the president, I just want to bring on this note for the president. Every time we have this discussion, federal spending has grown at its slowest pace in 60 years, 1.4% under Obama. Annual spending, taxes, the budget deficit is all down from the time that he took office, according to the Congressional Budget Office. And I want you to know that, and also with that, we've had oil prices. The amount of oil that we import in this country is down to a 16-year low. And I can do this all day. Just go on Ask Kathleen Network on BTR. We did 2 hours show of accomplishments, and we went through the whole 2 hours, and I wasn't done. So also, for the first time in 62 years, the U.S. is a net exporter of oil. We export 3.1 million barrels a day, and we import only 2.2 million a day of finished petroleum. So on that note, before we bring back on Jose, we have Mr. Solutions on the line. He wants to add his comment on how we can, a solution to black-on-black crime. Welcome to the program, Mr. Solutions. How you doing? Welcome to Black-on-Black Crime.
Hi, are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Boy, these computers are really screwing up.
Yeah, we just dropped a couple people, so I know that this is going on over here, too.
Yeah. What I wanted to reference was to directly engage on this issue and offer a solution, which is often not the case. American blacks love to talk an issue to death for the most part, but never do anything about it. America is about money, primarily money and property. And if you don't have those, you really don't have a voice. Now, that's not my rule. That's the rule that was here before I got here, and it'll be the rule for quite some time going forward. But regarding why blacks don't respect each other is because they don't receive any of their basic sustenance from each other. In other words, they don't have adequate businesses to meet their needs. They depend on everyone else for their basic sustenance. And what I recommend is that every black church of 500 members or more establish a grocery store in the community. There's nothing more basic than eating. And this comes directly out of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, where God is telling those who will listen to have dominion over your food source, the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. That's, we eat fish, we eat birds, as it were, chicken, turkey, the cattle of the field, cows and sheep and so on and so forth, and even the herb-bearing seeds. So he's telling you at the outset, structure your families and develop your businesses. Those are the two things that keep any people current and progressive and healthy. And blacks do neither of those. There's over a 70% divorce rate. There's this crazy fighting going on between black men and black women. Neither one of them are making a substantive point to each other. So these are the things that could get blacks out of their malaise and get them in an area of competitiveness, because you have to compete in this world. And the way they can best do that is to start by feeding themselves. You all eat off the Mexicans, you eat off or the Hispanics, you eat off
we're
the whites.
We're with you. And, we've talked about that kind of stuff on this program before, and I want to thank you for your comment. This is a part of what black crime is to have the solutions part. So I want to thank you for adding in your comments on that. Now, before we go into that, I know we've talked about this before, and, I live in New York State. We have one of the largest kind of migrations of Amish settlements in New York State. And I can tell you this, is that if black people, and I've been a strategist over 20 years, if black people moved in their own little Amish settlements, white folks will actually go in and shoot us and take it. Now, I don't know. I know that sounds a little sarcastic, and we're trying to be a little light on black crime because of this fact. The reason that a lot of black folks are confused, and we're even talking about Torrey in particular, is because we have to do some strange things to get in the presence of white folks. I'll let Finesse handle this before we go to our next break. Before we go to our first break. Finesse.
Well, there's a couple I want to tie in Jose's comment and the brother just called in. and they're both right. But here's the problem: media is the problem. So how do you solve that? Well, now it's easy. You have people that blog talk radio shows. You have people that have their own blogs. You know, they have all these different things and events. You can't control what's being seen and heard, especially for your community, because that's where it's got to happen first. Let's forget about national. Let's just start on a local level. Just do that first.
Right.
But see, no one wants to put in that work because they're too busy wanting to put in the work for a party and shaking their butt and all
right.
this other stuff. And that's where you know, any time it's like, well, we're doing a series of events and that's, you know, we gotta liven it up. That takes away from the message. I'll give you a perfect example. I hate when Martin Luther King Day comes around. You know why? Because I see this man's face on every flyer, and then they got some half-naked girl on it. So you take it away from the message.
I'm throwing a flag on Black on Black
what?
Crime on that note. Now, we're going to take a break so I can yell at Finesse in the background. No, Finesse, you can't do that. Not on Black on Black Crime.
See,
I want to thank everyone.
You know what?
We're taking a break.
I need somebody to come in and be the commission.
We have
people. All these
we still have Ty. We have Kai and Jose on the line, and we still have Mr. Solutions.
That's
if he wants to back
in. Penalty for
but
that.
We are taking a break, and we're not going to even take a regular news break. Since we're talking positivity and we're talking the classics, we're going to take a classics break. So you're going to be surprised, but we're going to go with the classics. Finesse, and stop the Black on Black crime, okay? Stop that. All right. So we'll be right back after this.
We got something new. We got something new, we got something new.
Well, if you're rated like you ate it, like a movie review.
You see, we get 5 stars for each of us. So let us tell you the deal, because it is a must. Well, I'm the number one ace, face in the face. I'm the king of the place, set the pain. And I'm the number one dude, no suit. What did you say? I got more rhymes than that mother school. Well, I'm the number one straight hit tape. Yes, I say the winner play all the way until the break of day. And party people, number four, back and more on the floor. Go to party, party, party.
We had to take a short classic break for Finesse making noise. And I want to welcome you back to Black on Black Crime. Just in case you don't know what Black on Black Crime is, it is just not us jumping on each other like we just did in the first half of the show. It is Black on Black Crime is where black people overtly focus, criticize, analyze other black people in areas they won't consider white folks or anyone else. So this is not that program, in case you have that problem. Now, first, we're going to go to our main topic for today. NFL great Warren Sapp gave his opinion on what happened between Chad and Evelyn, the Johnsons, or the Ocho Cincos, however you want to say. Now, in case you didn't watch the reality show Basketball Wives, now, Evelyn Lazanda, who is Ocho's wife, married professional football player Chad Ochocinco Johnson, and she was previously engaged to NBA star Antoine Walker, with whom she had a 10-year relationship. Her courtship with Chad Johnson was documented on Basketball Wives. They married on July 4, and on August 14th, 41 days later, she filed for divorce, claiming her marriage to Johnson was irrevocably broken or something. And so the drama unfolded when Johnson allegedly headbutted his bride after she found a receipt for condoms in the car, something just messy. And the incident culminated with Johnson being cut from the Miami Dolphins. Now, Warren Sapp said he claims that it was Evelyn who beat up Chad. He says, come on, tell me first and the last name of a brother who headbutted somebody. And when is the, he said, what is the last name? He said, when is the last time you heard one of your homeboys call you and told you, let me tell you about this fight I had at the club last night. This guy and his girlfriend were walking by and turned around and headbutted a girl. Now, that is Warren's statement, a part of Warren's statement, Warren Sapp's statement. I know we have Finesse back on. And so he said, you know, he's taking the rap for it. We don't do that. She did it, is what Warren Sapp said. That's a woman that's going to depend on her beauty for the rest of her life. He said a lot of black-on-black hate for her because she was messy on this TV show. So we're going to go to Finesse. Finesse, Warren Sapp. I'll let you have at it.
You know, Warren Sapp is my boy. Love him, but he's a dummy. Keep your mouth shut. Ain't had nothing to do with you. And then, furthermore, you sound like you're telling on yourself because you said, we don't do that. So, Warren, what you mean we don't do that?
He's just saying we as black people
baby,
don't do that.
You beat your baby mama before?
Finesse is hating. Let's go to Elias. We have Kai back because I don't have a flag. Kai, help Finesse out because Finesse is having a problem today.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll say this because none of us was there but Evelyn and Chad, crazies one and two. Because both of them are such loose cannons, I wouldn't put it past either one of them to have headbutted the other one. They may have headbutted each other together. Who knows?
Yeah, because Evelyn got a big head.
Oh, you're wrong for that.
You know, I mean, Warren Sapp seems pretty sure of what went down, and he wasn't there. I don't think he's in a position to make such a, you know, such a definite statement if he didn't witness it himself. But it's just kind of tragic that, really, does this really need to play out in the media and, you know, handle that? Why are either one of them surprised at the person that either one of them became? When they're exactly who they showed us they were.
Yeah, who actually thought they were going to be married that long in the first place? I had certainly.
You know what the crime is? The crime is they've insulted our intelligence enough to try and convince us that that whole production was going to be for real.
Right,
I'm upset.
And the other crime of that is Shawnee O'Neal putting that kind of crap on TV in the first place.
Well, you know what? And to her defense, because I think she's lying, but in her defense, I'm trying not to create their black-on-black crime myself, she says she thought she was tired of how bad it was getting on the show and that she is disappointed that people – now, this is what she's disappointed about – that people are seeing her as being ghetto and crazy. That's what she's disappointed about, not by instigating any of that stuff, because I did watch a couple of episodes where she egged them on. Laughing at people like she's in third grade. But anywho, I'm not committing any black-on-black crime.
You know what's amazing?
I'm just not observing.
I don't want to age myself because I'm much younger than Rome.
Thank you very
much. I've had friends for 30-ish years. I have never in the group of my friends or my friends' friends or the friends of my friends' friends, never in my experience have I seen women get together and conduct themselves in this manner. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but this whole image that they're portraying on TV, you know, regarding black women and drink throwing and cursing and sleeping around with each other, that is such a misrepresentation of who we are. And it's sad that I have to get on, me or the next woman or the next woman has to get on a show like this and say, that's not who we are. You know, it's unfortunate.
And it's so sad is because if people don't think that this plays out when it comes to black women getting roles in movies or television.
Oh, my God.
We talked about this last week. I told Rome, one of the producers I know, one of the cast directors I know and actresses I know, they have been given either scripts to direct or been asked to be in a movie, and they say, we need you to act like them women on The Basketball Wives.
And that's insulting.
And all they see is all they see is black women and now as Latino women as angry women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the role they want them to play. And that's hard. Even when you go to get a job, if
yes.
you even look the part of that, you're being judged on what a sound, a video clip that someone may see or a sound bite that somebody may hear. But that's all you see. And then when you turn around and you see these girls, Now they're stars. They're getting their own magazines, spreads, and all this and that.
Oh my
Why
gosh!
Why the
American
kids can't stand that? But they'll
and the sad thing is, not only does Hollywood believe it, locally people between that and Love and Hip Hop and you know, people locally, our own people are starting to believe this is the way women behave. You would not believe how many conversations I've had with black men. Why they date white women. It's insulting. I mean, some of them I'm thinking, that's okay,
well,
we would want them anyway, but that's part of the primary reason they give, because black women, too, y'all want too much, y'all this, y'all. That is so insulting. You know,
right. It is. I agree with that. I was about to flag you, and I had to put it back in my pocket, because I thought you were I thought
Kai
going someplace else.
Observation.
No, because it is a good observation. Their excuse is like going to a non-denominational church and claiming that black churches don't give them something. And
exactly.
That, my friend, is always a problem.
And you know what? I just watched a clip with Mona Scott today. I guess it was from last week. She was on a Ricky Smiley show. And Ricky Smiley was just asking her, out of everything that you could do, isn't there something you could show, like maybe have some counselors on there or something, so you just don't present the image? He was telling her, I'm not saying for you to change the show, but you got to do more than just let this be, because people think that this is what's real. And she kept saying, she went on and she said, well, one of the girls, Jocelyn, she was a stripper, and all she used to get in was dollar bills. And, and when she got her first check, she cried. Well, does she think she's actually helping the case? Because Jocelyn's going to say, oh, shoot, if I can make this much, I'm going to continue to act this way. And if other young girls hear this, because I know in Atlanta, if, correct me if I'm wrong, Kai, but didn't they have to have a form because the girls in school were acting like the girls on the Basketball Housewives?
Oh. Yes, yes.
So,
okay,
so those young girls growing up thinking that's
young,
the way it's
middle
supposed
school,
to be. Yeah.
High school. I kid you guys not, I was going to work one day, and I used to live in Clayton County, and there was a high school and middle school not far from me. And, you know, coming from New York, having been a teacher in New York, I thought it would be a similar situation down here. These girls were going to school in halter tops and high heel shoes. I kid you not, these are 14 and 15, 16-year-olds who look like they were going to a nightclub, and some in some cases a strip club. Okay. And they were going to school. Not one book bag, but they were on their way to school.
Okay, you know
I
what?
I couldn't believe it. It was a culture shock.
I understand, and you guys know I do, but y'all are turning this into a hate program. So I just want to say this on the topic.
Observation.
That we all agree that WordSap has had a hip on. What is it? Y'all got me on Basketball Wise stuff. A black on black crime against Evelyn, but I want to say this to your point in your story. I'm doing a story this Thursday on Esprinet News on BTR. Check us out 11 p.m. Eastern. Now, we're doing a story about the fact that Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta averaged 3.1 million viewers for the first 10 episodes, and that's better than any season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, which peaked at season 3 at 2.9, which means those girls are going to be making a lot of money. They're going to renegotiate their contract. NeNe gets over $1 million, and they just beat her in the first 10 weeks.
And that's sad, because it's become about the money. And so, again, we have more people selling out our culture. And it's, I can't stand it. I'm going to use an example.
Okay.
You know, the people of New Jersey Shore, those cats.
Oh
it's
God,
fine
yes.
if they do the New Jersey thing and they're Italian and all that. But when they were getting out of the way, calling each other calling this name that only Italians call themselves. And they kept putting it on the news. There were some Italian folks that said they're going to stop saying this word. They met with them, and they cut that out. You see what I'm saying? Other cultures
the producers
are going to let you go so far and say, okay, enough is enough.
Right.
We don't do that. We say, okay, this is another way for us to make money. And if anybody thinks that anybody's on that show is not needing money, they're crazy. I just saw Stevie J, how much he's worth. Stevie J was the dude for Bad Boy making all them hits.
Can someone explain this to me? I'm very confused with Stevie J, and I hadn't heard of him before. Why would someone with the caliber of clientele that he had, I'm perplexed as to why he would subject himself to this role.
Let it fool you. That cat needed money. That's the only reason why he's on this show. He's only worth $5 million. And you talk about the number of hits that he produced and did.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting royalty checks when that music is played. But he's not getting that money because he's got all these babies. He's in debt. He and pissed a lot of people off in the industry. So now, if I'm on this show making these ugly faces, somebody's going to hire me. And sure
he's
enough,
not getting
he's
work.
To get clients coming in to hire him.
Yeah,
okay,
he's not getting
that
work that he did
makes
before.
Sense because I'm just looking at him and I don't know the man, but if he walked past me in any situation and came up with the lines that I'm like, really, are women really falling for this guy? I'm totally confused. I would laugh. I would crack up laughing.
All right,
let me tell you, these people are making money on the side because Stevie J is getting asked to come to the club.
We know from Kim Kardashian that club money is big. We know that club money is big from the Kim Kardashian stuff. But before we go into that,
and people are going to continue to support this nonsense, and shows that should get the kind of ratings are never going to get it.
All right, now, you know, I would continue on this if we were going 90 today, but since we're only going 60, we're going to bring back in our other caller who wanted to make a comment, and it was on the Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp and the Ocho's stuff. So let's bring in our caller, Mr. Solution, who we had on before, to make his comment. Welcome back to Black on Black Crime.
Yeah. What are we? I'm a little bit discombobulated here. Are we talking about the Ocho Cinco or on Black?
Well, don't be confused. We wrapped up Ocho Cinco really quickly with everybody agreeing that Warren Sapp was wrong for getting on Evelyn Ocho Cinco in the headbutting case. So we moved on to talk about why Evelyn is in that position that she's getting so much notoriety. So we're talking about the same topic, but we are all in agreement that Warren Sapp was wrong for making those statements.
Well, let me just say this, and all of this relates to the same thing, logic and common sense. She should not be a poster girl for domestic violence simply because she was instrumental in creating the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Chad was stupid for marrying that older, washed-up.
I think everybody agrees with that.
Skeezer.
But that was
very dumb on his part to get with a woman like that. She was not relationship material. And so I think that we need to have conversations along this line to really lay the foundation for us having healthy relationships and attitudes toward healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the work that needs to be done has not been done. And we need to talk about it. Communication is going to be the most powerful instrument that we have to uncover our weaknesses and also to strengthen us in areas that we need to be strengthened. I hate to see any marriage go on the rocks.
Yeah.
And if they can get counseling to, mitigate and to repair what has been done, that's good. But I do think it's being overly played up in the media,
It sure is, and that's why I didn't really want to go into it from that particular angle. But, you know, before we go back into anything else, we are going to take a quick break because we're going to move to our
I have a quick point on Black empowerment.
We'll let you – go ahead. Make quick.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What I like to talk about, number one, before a Black person an American black person even offers advice, I recommend that they meet at least three criteria. Number one, have all of your bills current, because this shows whether or not what you know works for you. Bills current, have 1 year's salary in reserve, and having had an elimination within the last 12 hours. And what that does is it causes a person to be both focused and non-toxic.
Well, you know what, I'm going to let you we're going to take a break on that note, but I just want to say really quickly about that. I don't think that there's any criteria for truth, and we need to understand that we just cannot be that critical. Sometimes you go in having bad credit for hospital bills and, unfortunately, divorces and all of that other stuff. So we're not committing a black-on-black crime on black folks just by saying that they should or should not have something before they go. But I do understand the point, and we want to take a break, and we're going to take a break on a positive classic, and we'll be right back in 1 minute before we close out the show on our last topic, Nike and the Urban League. Isn't that where we're going, Finesse? Nike Urban League.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we'll be right back on that note. Nike Urban League, if you want to stay with us. All right, thanks for listening to Black on Black Crime. Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We're on with Finesse. Kai just dropped on us again. Hopefully she'll be back in a second. And our last caller, the solution, he fell off. So hopefully those guys will be back. Oh, Kai is also back. But so here's the thing. Here's our new topic as we close out the show. Hey, Kai, welcome back.
Thank you. I just stepped out my puppy. I had an emergency.
Oh, Lord. We
sorry.
She had a puppy issue.
Black crime.
It's not a black puppy. We good. All right.
Oh, okay.
So Nike, the company behind Air Jordan, plans to launch the new LeBron X basketball shoe that features technology such as jump and speed measurements. However, the new line of basketball shoe is projected to cost well over $300 and is heavily criticized by the Urban League. So Mark Mariel, I'm the president of the National Urban League, describes the new shoe as a foolish status symbol in our nation today and says it represents a misplaced priority. Now, his argument is based on the idea that they're marketing a new shoe towards kids and teenagers, but he still says that this is not a necessity but a nicety. So the retail cost of this shoe is probably going to be around $185, but, their original $315. All right, Finesse, let loose.
Well, let me correct you. The sneaker is still going to cost $290 with all those perks. There's going to be a certain amount that's available, but then they're going to have the other shoe for $185, what you said. And all
right.
This is saying is, and Brian Sales, we have this on Facebook, we have Let's Talk Sports. Brian Sales put up an interesting video last week where it talks about the evolution of buying sneakers and all this other stuff. And what they found out is blacks spend the most on expensive sneakers. so it doesn't make a difference. They just wanted to see, can we get this $315? And
right.
we've already, those who know me know I can't stand Nike, period, and I don't support them ever. You know, back in 84 was the last time I bought a pair, and then once I start finding all the stuff that they did, I don't buy any sneakers from them. You know, I hold the athlete accountable because he can set the price. But I can't be mad at Nike if our people are going to be stupid enough to spend that kind of money.
Hey,
okay,
I'm going to throw a flag on you. Don't be talking about my people. Now, here's the thing.
It's the truth because they are spending it. So you can't throw a flag on truth.
No. Because I want to throw a flag on this. If somebody buys some Jimmy Choo's or whatever those expensive women's shoes are, I want to ask Ty this question. Do we get on them for charging for high-priced shoes? And if they were the Nike Martina Navratilova or Steffi Graf, would we even care? Now, this was the point, black on black. Are we going after Nike because they're LeBron shoes? Are we going after Nike because they're just unreasonable, trying to gouge the community?
They're going after LeBron because it's just LeBron.
Right, exactly. So that's
right.
The point. His name's on there, but he didn't do it. Kai, what do you think about that comparison?
I think that it's embarrassing and it's sinful that our priorities are so mixed up that I don't blame Nike. I mean, it's a supply and demand issue.
Exactly.
If we're that into, if our priorities are that mixed up, that we would steal, rob, and kill for a pair of sneakers when we don't know how our bills are going to be paid or we don't have any money saved, then
don't
that's not Nike's fault. That's
don't
our
make,
fault.
Don't make me
no,
throw a flag
I'm
on
just
you.
Saying, I'm saying,
it is always
you know,
crazy.
You can't throw a flag
for
on truth.
It shows. We just have to reprioritize what's important. And I'm not mad at LeBron or Nike for the shoe. I'm mad that we have a generation of people who don't, and this is an observation, who don't have their priorities in order yet.
Okay.
Because,
if
you're a young man and you're working and that's what you want to spend your hard-earned money on, by all means, go buy as many pairs as you want, but don't steal or don't kill the person who went out and worked hard to get those shoes. When I see those lines, people lined up around the corner to get a pair of sneakers, they wouldn't do that if Jesus came back. But they would do that when they hear the new Nikes are out.
Okay.
They're not lining up to get books. That's working out for them.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to say that Kai brought up Air Jesus. Don't do that.
If people think about making them shoes, they'll sell them. You're right, though, Finesse. If it was books or if it was something empowerment or if it was Jesus, you wouldn't see people lining up 2 and 3 days ahead of time. It's embarrassing. For a pair of sneakers, it's embarrassing.
Ask one Seth how that's working out for him.
Oh, God. All right, you know what? We're not hating on black crime, but since we have another minute and a half before the top of the hour, we're going to go into overtime because we have a couple of calls I want to get in. So we're going to let Finesse vent for a minute and a half before we cut him off. And we're going to go into overtime and clear it up.
I'm going to still be here. I ain't going nowhere.
I just was checking because I know how this is going to go. Once y'all start bringing in Air Jesus and stuff, like, okay,
but
so
you,
fine.
Hey, but you can't get mad at truth. That's the truth. Mr. Commissioner with the flag, I'm going to call a file on you. Stop throwing flags.
We don't have to appeal to the lowest common denominator of ourselves. It is crazy to rob, kill, and steal for sneakers, just like it's crazy to stand at an Apple iPhone store trying to get the newest model of an Apple product. But anyway, let's go to the lines. We have area code 208 on the line. Welcome to Black on Black Crime. Thanks for joining us. What's your name?
My name is Salahuddin from New York City.
Okay, how you doing?
Hello? Very good, sir. This is an excellent topic, and I actually agree with you. I think that one of the major issues with us, you know, again, looking at it objectively and trying not to, in psychotherapy, they call it projection, and they also call it the countertransference when the therapist projects their own. So when you're trying, you purport to be trying to assist and implement some intervention, but you're projecting your own biases onto the victim. Now,
exactly.
When we talk about sociologically the problems in the black community, if it's a macro level and you see a trend in sociology, they don't blame the victim. They advocate for them. They say that there's something inherently wrong with the society in which this type of behavior pattern that's become pandemic is being generated. Now, other groups, I'll give an example, China. There was a time they had the Boxer Rebellion about 100 years ago. The Chinese were so steeped in opium addiction that it was universally accepted that the Chinese race was a foregone conclusion. Now, the leadership of the Chinese did not bash their own people. They said, okay, there's a structure. We look at it. What's the etiology of this in the white community? When they have white men going postal, they don't say that there's something wrong and they're embarrassed
exactly.
about them. They say there's something, okay, what is the structure of the society that's created? With the feminist movement, women said, you know, we're not inherently inferior because we seem to be underrepresented in the 60s and 70s in the sciences and law. They said it was white male patriarchy in the structure of society. So what I see is that there's an obverse kind of pathology that we tend
right.
to, a lot of us, we're Negro excess. I'm better than the other blacks. I'm embarrassed about them. That's the most inappropriate thing to do. We have no compassion for ourselves. That's
you know
a pathology
what?
In itself.
That's
yes.
right. And on that note, I want to interrupt you because you made a bunch of good
yes,
points. And that is exactly why I'm throwing flag on this, because I'm saying that we cannot. You know what, Kai? Well, I'm going to say this. We are throwing flags on it just because it is no need, especially on this program, because we're not tolerating it, but there is no need to always blame the victim. We have a society that actually wants to deal with paying that much for sneakers as a whole separate different problem. So I just want to say that and add that. And thank you for calling. I want you to hang on with us.
Can I say
though.
One more comment? One more comment, please?
Well,
this is symptomatic of the Western culture in general, materialism.
Yeah.
Consumerism. Why? I give another example with white. When we say white and black, with the black problem with our relationships, you know that with regard to Asians, 40% of all the Asian women that are married in this society are married to white men. Do we say there's anything wrong with the Asian family? Are we publicly bashing them and criticizing them? We are the scapegoat.
Can
the function of the black
hand?
Community
Sorry.
Is to be bashed.
You're right,
yes.
Kai. You know what?
Okay.
And I want to – wait a minute. Before you go in, Kai, I want to thank him for his comments. It's the reason
yes.
why we have Black on Black Crime is because we don't – the point of this show is not to overtly criticize or analyze black people in areas that you don't criticize and analyze anybody else. And so that was a great point, even
okay.
in bringing in those points. So go ahead, Kai. I'm going to let you in,
yes,
and we're going to bring in another caller.
Those were definitely great observations. And in speaking with the, you know, in regard to the Asian women marrying white men, and, you know, love who you love, marry who you marry.
Exactly.
My point was just that as a black woman, why do we have to be put down in order to rise someone else up? If that's who you love, they can be purple or green. It's exhausting to me as a black woman, as a good black woman, as a loyal black woman.
You don't have to say that.
Here.
We all know. But that's what I'm saying
but
about
you understand
qualifying
what I'm saying?
It. No,
gets
we know
exhausting.
Exactly what you're saying.
Right.
We know
because,
exactly what you're saying.
Because Asian, when you see an Asian and white couple or you know, whomever, they don't suffer the same kind of let down or put down that it's not at their expense, but
the,
it's always
the,
at
the
our
expense. Our
expense.
The,
right.
the oppression in this society on black people as far as visual is concerned is
right.
always that the expectation is what is the least common denominator of us. Just like when we watch politics, the reason that, you know, the president, again, tune in to Ask Kathleen on BTR if you want to hear 2 hours of presidential accomplishments. But since
mm-hmm.
you can't, they keep running this thing saying he can't run on his record, he can't run on his record, and I can give you 2 hours of his record that are great
mm-hmm.
Things. You know, GDP
mm-hmm.
was contracting at a -6%, and now
mm-hmm.
is a +2 at this point of his presidency, and it's the largest swing in our lifetime of GDP from negative to positive. So I want to say that, just to say
mm-hmm.
it is about images. And before you jump in, Finesse, I want to bring in Kathleen. I think we have Kathleen on the line. Kathleen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I just wanted to say absolutely great show. I was
hey, Kathleen.
Addictively, hey, everybody. You all are doing an incredible job.
Hey, Kathleen, where my rum at?
Oh, God.
It's in the kitchen.
I didn't mute him.
You have to come get it, man.
Okay. Rum and blood, that goes well. I got it.
All right. So anyway, what I was originally going to say with the last caller, however, was so unbelievably articulate. I figured I'd tuck it away, but I'll say it anyway. When I was a kid, the sneaker of the day was the Converse.
Yes.
And my parents would take me down to Jamaica Avenue to John's Bargain Store, and we would get whatever sneaker fit our budget, and we did not get those Converse sneakers. So I know I'm telling on myself. But when I was able to go to work with my little neighborhood youth corps job, if I wanted to take my little money, like Kai was saying, and take the money that I was making at the time and go buy some Converses, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I agree. And Jerome, just like I was telling you yesterday, my primary concern is how much money does LeBron James get from that shoe? That would be my issue. If LeBron is getting paid, I'm not angry. You know, pay the man.
And if he's giving back, that's even better.
Exactly, because that's what he is going to do and many of the other athletes are going to do. So if so long as he's getting paid, I'm good.
You know what?
I want to get in here because Rome ain't gonna let me get in here. I'm a bulldog my way in.
Go let him in a little later.
Everything that caller said is correct, but at some point we have to hold ourselves in the community responsible. I don't blame Nike. I don't blame LeBron. If they're gonna pay LeBron, then fine. But Nike, if they're gonna make the shoe you're gonna buy, that's fine. Because Nike purposely does this because they know we're gonna buy it. The facts show. Most white kids are not running out buying the most expensive sneaker. They're in the Converse, which I ain't going to pay for no Converse at $60-some dollars when they used to cost $20 when we was growing up.
They raised the price of Converse.
Mm-hmm. I ain't doing it.
Since Nike bought them, they raised the price of Converse, by the way.
Yeah, they raised it. I went in to go get a pair the other day, $64. I'm not paying
$64. It's the same thing. It's supply and demand, and it's, as long as someone is going to pay that price for them, they're going to keep producing that shoe, that sneaker.
Right.
But in our
culture, we run out because we want to be the flyers. We want to have everything. We go out, I don't care if it's Jimmy Choo or if it's Nike. We don't think. We spend the most amount of money and we save none. That's not on any other, that's not on the companies. That's on us. And we have to do a better job in the community of educating people about finances and about saving.
So it is on us. All right, so this is where I interrupt Finesse because I still want to blow the blow a whistle on him and throw a flag on him.
If I get another flag, I swear.
he went lucky we wasn't giving out strikes. Finesse will be on lockdown. Kathleen, you might have to represent Finesse. By the way.
So I have to be commissioner. I'm going to go to the commissioner. Kathleen is the commissioner, and we're going to review the show, and she's going to take back my fine.
We're on ACN on Ask Kathleen Network. Call in, area code 909-265-9189. Check out Ask Kathleen on Sundays at 8 o'clock on the same network.
I'm going to need that drunk drink and smoke after this show.
before Kathleen pulls the plug on me, I am just saying to Finesse, this is black on black crime. And so the question is it wrong for Nike to raise on LeBron's name a sneaker price that high? Right? We all know that
it's crazy.
Can I jump in?
He has to agree to it.
Okay. Kathleen?
What I would like to acknowledge is the fact that when, you know, there's a whole community of people called sneakerheads, right? And the sneakerheads are not just black kids. They're black, they're Asian, they're white, they're everything. And they stand in line for days sometimes. You know, you think it was Black Friday to buy sneakers that are ridiculously priced, right? And so here's a black-on-black crime thing. We haven't – there was no articles about that when the kids were – well, there might have been. There might have been on the news something. But they're not, you know, talking about the Asian kids that go out and buy $500 sneakers and they're sneakerheads and they save them. And they become, what well, actually, there was an article. There were a couple of articles, and it did hit the news. I actually featured it on my program, on my television program some time ago. But they're spending $500 for the shoes, and what they do, they take the shoes, they make them collector's items, and they go up just like anything else, another collector item, and they can sell it back years later for, you know, that much more money. They say that they never wear those sneakers. So we're
And that's an investment. Versus
right.
we're
so
wearing
we're
them to school.
We're making the assumption that these kids are going to go spend $315 for these sneakers or whatever they're going to retail for and wear them and not use them as an investment. We're making an assumption just because they're black kids. So I think that's a black-on-black crime.
Hey, see? Thank you, Kathleen.
What kind of commissioner are you? You know darn well that no black kids go get no $315 sneaker and wait 10 years.
All right. Before you try to co-op Kai on your side, I just want to say Kai is over here with us
Kai,
as well.
Kai, quiet, because you don't want to get flagged. I'll get flagged. Find me. See if I pay it.
I mean, and that's great. I hope that that's the case. I really do. If I knew, you know, and a lot of it is what the media shows. A lot of it is the communities that we live in. But it would be great to know that there are some young African-American boys and girls or people of color in general who have that kind of investment savvy to go and, you know, save their hard-earned money and go and invest. It is an investment. And if they can turn that money around like that, then by all means, I'm super happy for them. But I'm just saying don't wear the sneakers at someone else's expense. You know, I have no problem with Nike. If Nike raises the price that much and someone has the money and the means to buy it, by all means.
Okay, see, but we're not talking about you, Kai. See, you're not supposed to take the program personal.
Oh, sorry.
I'm
buying the sneakers with the upside down Nike sign. Hype. $25 on your local corner in the hood.
And for the record, Kathleen, mm-hmm. I think I had some pro kids when Converse is hot. So I want to say there was always a competitor of everybody until, mm-hmm. you know, until Michael Jordan signed that big Nike deal and got ripped in the biggest rip in sports history. I have to say that because Nike, if you didn't know, sold about 200,000 pairs of shoes before Air Jordans. In the first year of Air Jordans, they sold 1.2 million pairs of shoes, a million more pairs of shoes on the first version of Air Jordans. Oh, and by the way, didn't pay him any more money, by the way.
Wow. Can I make an observation that hopefully is not an attack?
Go ahead.
The observation
don't get gun shy on me.
No, it's just with Jimmy Choo, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, whomever it is, just because it looks good doesn't mean it looks good on you. So a lot of people are caught up. First of all, I have yet to see a Jimmy Choo shoe that I would spend $200 on. But maybe that's just my lack of fashion. But, you know, just because it looks good to the eye doesn't mean everyone can't wear everything.
You know
and
what?
That goes for Nike sneakers.
Okay,
they don't
you know
look good on everybody.
I know. And so since we're straddling the cost part, and I know Vanessa's still here. Vanessa's supposed to be gone. But I want to quickly throw in the Hampton University Business School Dean, Sid Credo or something, who stands by his ban on dreadlocks and cornrows for the last decade for MBA students. And there's a black-on-black crime that we didn't talk about today, but it's him against the students. To get into that school, you can't have cornrows or dreadlocks. But he says that the ban has been in place for 11 years, and the business school has placed nearly all of his students to professional jobs and postgraduate. And so, Finesse, we'll let you go first because I know you might have to go. What do you think?
Well,
you can get another flag on this one because I know you wanted to get one.
Yeah, I know the flag is coming for this one. I actually happen to agree because I know what he's saying. He's trying to get them ready for the real world, and they don't keep their braids and their dreadlocks up. And this has been Morehouse did it a couple years ago, and they only also had to deal with the dress issue as well. But I thoroughly understand why he's saying that because they're not keeping up with how they look and their appearance. So if you're not gonna, you know, and it said he's got a mandate. But if he's got to do that, he's got to do what he's got to do. He's trying to help them to represent. and be better. But you get a stereotype, and I've had professors tell me this in college and even in school. If these kids' hair is and braids and nappy and all that other stuff, they think that they're going to be a problem. And they stereotype them. I've had teachers say that.
That's very interesting. Well, after having just left a job at a business school for 8.5 years, I can say I've never seen one of our graduates wear dreadlocks or cornrows. And if they know, I mean, and I believe I could be off a little bit, but Georgia Tech has a 97% placement rate. And if they know coming into the school what the requirements are and what's not allowed, and they agree to it, and it works for both parties, I'm fine with it.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to have to bring in Kathleen. I'm going to have to ask Kathleen on this one, because if I'm not mistaken, isn't Hampton an HBCU? Isn't a historical black college? Should they actually make everybody conform to just to get their numbers up? And I don't know, Kathleen?
Or can it just be for the business school, or is it for
the
university?
No. It's just for the business school, because he's the dean of the business school.
If it's working.
Overall, I do agree with this. Now, I do agree. Mm-hmm. You wear the uniform for the game that you're playing in, right?
Exactly.
And so,
I know.
So if you wanted to get in to the business school or you wanted to go into corporate, there's some things you can't do. There's not a lot of us in there hiring. So, you know, I want to
make you can't wear shorts in a courtroom. You can't wear... You know what I mean? It's a dress code. It's part of a dress code. You could, but...
You could, but you'd probably get sentenced to something kind of crazy. Kathleen, I wanted to know if she wanted to have the add on this. Kathleen?
No, I didn't have anything to add.
Okay. All right. Well
that's interesting, though. That's really interesting.
I have to do her like she does me on her show. She just leaves my mic open and just go, Jerome, that was kind of payback. That was a black-on-black crime finesse. So
that was a black-on-black
black
crime.
No, it wasn't a black-on-black crime. I disagree.
You like totally caught me off guard. It was black-on-black crime. But anyway.
Okay, I'm sorry. Kai, I interrupted you.
No, I think that's very interesting, because I'm thinking back now, in the 8.5 years that I worked there, there was a dress code. There was a dress code for business presentations. There were, it got as serious as, because there were people from so many different areas and walks of life, there even became an issue with certain body smells and body odor and so forth.
Uh-oh.
And when it became a problem, this is a business school, we had to address those issues, because you're going out and you're representing... You know, and it wasn't a very comfortable place to be to have those conversations. But, the people conformed because they knew the value of getting this degree. They conformed to, to what the environment was.
Okay. Now, Finesse, since I've locked Finesse out so much, Finesse, would you obviously agree with this, right?
Yeah, I agree. I had to think back even at Bethune-Cookman when I should go there to do some special teachings and sitting on classrooms in the business school. They didn't have it there either. There's no braids, no dreadlocks, because as they said, we're preparing them for the real world. And
well, real is
there,
relative.
You already.
Is relative. Because, MBA is so that you can start your own. No. MBA is so that you can start your own business. It's a business school. It's not really to go in to be accepted by somebody else hiring you. The reason you go into an MBA program. Right. The only reason you go into an MBA program, if I'm not mistaken, Kai, you can tell me about the acceptance criteria of MBA students. But the reason you go into MBA is to be.
Because
you're
in business. It's for you to acquire a degree. It encourages entrepreneurship, actually.
Exactly.
Or for you to go back to the company where you are and become more marketable to the company that you're working for.
Right. And if you're not marketable, one of the things that they say is your hair. Now, there's some companies that won't deal with it, and even if you have your own business, some companies won't deal with you in business.
Right.
So is it fair? I'm not saying it's fair, but I understand their point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to keep it up, then you got to cut it off.
Okay, Kai, if I'm Jay-Z and I wanted to get my MBA, got dredged. Do you think they'll not let me go to your school?
No, they wouldn't.
You
know
what? You got $1 billion.
Exactly. You're going in for business.
But here's a true story, and I'm not sure what the reason was. The founder of Cinnabon was not accepted into our program. I mean, it just depends on the criteria and so forth that comes with.
He found Cinnabon first?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. I mean, I don't want to tell his business.
No. I'm just generally saying, like, you can be a successful business person and they won't accept you into an MBA program.
We had people who ran their own businesses and who were CEOs of their own businesses. But depending on what they, there were certain tests that they had to pass and there were certain questions and experience and so forth. It's a very rigorous program, and some of them may have been at our loss, you know, but they didn't let everyone in. CEOs of companies, some of them, and presidents of their own companies.
Go ahead.
Can I relate an experience?
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was living in Florida, used to go to this program to try to help small businesses, and the SBA was sponsoring the event. So I was always prepared, had everything. Everything was working great. Going for weeks, seemed like I wasn't getting nowhere to this training and all this other stuff. And one of the bankers pulled me aside.
Mm-hmm.
Well prepared, you can, you know, speak properly, everything. He said, the one reason why no one's going to mess with you is because of your hair. At that time, I had the little skinny dreadlocks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you got to be kidding. Sure enough, I cut my hair. I made that decision. If I'm going to be in this business world, I got to do what I got to do.
Right.
I started getting help, started getting information. So, again, that was a long time ago, 2001. Times have changed. I see a lot of people now with dreadlocks and braids.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when it comes to black men trying to get into this business, whether they're entrepreneur or they're going to work for somebody, you have to look a certain way.
People don't always admit it, but, I mean, it's true. Women have to look a certain way, too. I would be a lot less threatening, a lot more threatening if I walked into an interview with, and it's unfortunate, but it's true, if I walked into an interview where if I had cornrows or dreadlocks or, you know, weave
or an afro
down my back, I would be I'm a lot more threatening in the interview than if I walked in looking natural. Here in Georgia, it has been my experience.
Okay, you know, before you go on, Finesse, I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. This is a program, I know we've gotten a little bit off of this, but this is a program about when black people overtly focus and criticize and analyze other black people and don't consider about anybody else. So we're talking about Hampton College's dean of their business school, MBAs, telling the students that they can't have cornrows or dreads. And so just wanted to remind you, and you're listening on Ask Kathleen, the ACN network, Ask Kathleen and Esprit Radio and everywhere else, or iTunes. Thanks for the downloads. And Finesse, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to throw the plugs in.
Said what?
I said I had to plug everything first, but I wanted to throw that in.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's, you know, I had this conversation before with somebody else, and I was talking about the women who have these kids that go to school, and they have them in the cornrows, have them in the braids, they have them in the dress. They don't have the time to keep their hair up. So your appearance means everything. And to some people, it looks unkept. And I always say, if you don't have the time to keep your hair up, don't do it, because you're already going in there with strike one because you're black. So you already know that. So why go in there when it's the perception of, you ever see a police sketch of somebody that has dreads or braids?
Oh, gosh. They all look alike.
Do they look neat?
They all look alike. But they all look alike, too.
So why would you, you know, and I know people are going to be like, oh, that's unfair. I can't believe you're saying it. But it's the truth, and I know because I had white folks tell me that.
You know,
have a conversation with them and see what they think. It's not fair, but, and I understand, he's trying to, those schools, Bethune-Cookman, Hampton, Morehouse, they are trying, you know, they know the odds. They're black just like you. They want you to have the best chance so that you don't get turned down before you even put pen to paper, before you even ask for a loan. They want you to be ready.
Okay, so I guess I should do my polling. Kai, you're saying that this is not a black on black crime. The dean was right. Are you saying that?
Yes.
Okay. Finesse, you're saying
I'm
the dean
Kai.
Was right. You with?
Yep.
Oh, now you with Kai? You looking for cover? Okay.
I'm with Kai all the time. I just want her to be commissioner because you and Kathleen. You know, I shouldn't have asked Kathleen.
I'm calling Kathleen
my
back.
Or my blunt.
Kathleen, take us off mute. Kathleen. Is this a black-on-black crime, the dean of Hampton against black students with corones at HBCU? Is this a black-on-black crime?
She abandoned me.
I can't believe she abandoned me. Okay.
All right, fine. That's black folks for you. They can't
I'm
going to
call that a black-on-black crime. And I'm going to speak for Kathleen by saying I'm going to act like she just texted me. Hold on. That's Kathleen. Yep, Kathleen.
Yes.
Kathleen agrees. Kathleen, are you with me on this?
I am.
Okay. All right. So I'm just saying.
Wait a minute.
You
with who? Which side are you on?
Well, okay. Wait. Let me frame it for Kathleen. We're asking now. Kai and Finesse are on one side of this. I didn't pick yet. They're saying is Hampton University's president right for not accepting people with cornrows and dreads, even though they're HBCU, because he says that it weakens their chances of being let into corporate. Is he right? Is that a black-on-black crime, or is it not a black-on-black crime?
I'm saying that it is a black-on-black crime.
Thank you. I'm going to side with Kathleen. It's not often I go against Kai. I know I threw many flags on Finesse today, and Kai has dropped, unfortunately, for you, Finesse. He's dropped the line, and, you know, I would never drop Kai out. I just want to say that for
break up, and now it is.
Kathleen, I want to say this for the record. It mysteriously became 2-1 because Kai's vote don't count since her line dropped. So
I wonder how that is. You're just like Roger Goodell. You're just doing all kind of stuff today.
Dropping phone calls,
blaming it on somebody else.
I know you're not throwing a flag on me. You know what? And since you need to get a drink on that, we're going to go out on some new theme music from Finesse. And
that's
it.
I'm Sabatier and Blunt.
And that is a shame because I already had this queued up for our outro. So he just made it about us getting a drink, Kathleen. And luckily Kai and I don't drink, so.
And I don't either.
I'm gonna have to go to the court and file a petition, a restraining order against Rome and these flags.
Kathleen, we don't really have to take that. So I just want to say, Kathleen and Kai, Finesse will obviously commit another crime, although he did have a couple of justified black-on-black crimes. So we're going to forgive him on this one. And next week, we don't know who we're going to talk about. So, Finesse,
we're
going to
talk about the crossovers. Those that cross over, they can't come back.
Oh, you know what, Kat? You know, just so you know, on black-on-black crime, we are going to create a new segment. And, Kathleen, hopefully you can help us out on this one. I'll ask you on Ask Kathleen's on Sunday, 8 o'clock on BTR. Now, we're going to ask you who we're going to kick out. Now, we got this from the Dave Chappelle show, by the way. I did. When they did the racial draft and they started kicking people out. Well,
yes.
on black crime, we're going to start locking people out. So it's going to be our new lockout for our crossover.
I love it. That was so funny on Chappelle's show.
So we're going to have a top. Finesse, do we want to do a top 10 of locked out people, or are we just going to lock them out?
The top 10 locked out.
He wants to rank them, Kathleen. Oh, that's going to be a problem. This is going to be bad and a problem. So if you have somebody who should be locked out and you're listening through iTunes, or you want to catch us before next week's show, send it to BOBC, that's Black on Black Crime, at soulofsyracuse.com. Hit us up on Facebook, either one. Ask Kathleen. You go to Kathleen, and she'll know what you're talking about. if you want to lock somebody out, you don't have to say what you're locking them out about. Just say lock out and just say their name. Because I already know who's going to be on that list, Finesse, because there's honorable. We might have to do an honorable mention to maybe so many people, but we know.
Yes, and also, too, if you think you could be commissioner of this show, send in your resume.
Oh, here we go.
I want to lock out the Queens DA for having Shirley Huntley, Senator Shirley Huntley, arrested.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I want you to tell that story. I know we're going out on outro music, but we do have a couple minutes. Tell me that. Shirley Huntley.
State Senator Shirley Huntley in my district, I think it's the 10th senatorial district, she turned herself in today. Arraigned for, they're saying that misappropriation of state funds to the tune of $30,000. I mean, really, she could write a check for that. So I'm just saying that I am going to do a lockout on the Queens VA for having State Senator Shirley Huntley, 74 years old, arrested for misappropriation of funds. They said she had a nonprofit organization that was supposed to be using the funds in a certain way. They weren't used in that way. They arrested her staff, three of her staff members last year. They all got off, but, you know, they were working with
but
them.
But they're going to her.
Right, and one of them turned state's evidence, so she turned herself in this morning.
All right, so, you know what, we're not going to even go there. This is Black on Black Crime, and hopefully we can talk about this on Kathleen's show. I don't know if you're going to do this next week, but just in case you do, I'll be there to yell about that. So on behalf of Finesse, we're going to give you some parting words before we sign off for next week's show.
Hey, we're just kicking knowledge and kicking facts. We appreciate everybody's input and spread the word. Black on Black Crime every Monday at 2 p.m.
All right, and check us out. And Kathleen, you want to give us a parting shot?
Hey, great show, everybody. I love Black on Black Crime, and I love having you all on Ask Kathleen. So check us out also on Ask Kathleen. And Ty, Finesse, and Rome, you're always there with us anyway. Come join us Sunday night, 8 o'clock, so we can have lots of fun talking about lots of stuff.
All right. And again, join us again next week, 2 o'clock, same time, Monday. And you can check me out on S3 Radio on BTR as well, 11 o'clock on Thursdays, every Thursday, all right? So for Finesse, for Kai, for Kathleen, and thanks to all the callers who called in, thanks for listening to Black on Black Crime, and Jose. I didn't forget Jose and my family at Jerkut, all right? Now, just remember, all contents of this program is protected and may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, or otherwise published without prior written permission. All rights are reserved, and we'll see you next week.